I think we can open at least part of them. Avataanko kaikki? Se tuli korpista, kun mä otin sieltä sen. Joo. Ei sillä joo, sinänsä muuta väliä kuin, että siellä on oikea henkilöstö. Okay, welcome to this information and discussion session about the new practices of the University Graduate School. My name is Tuula Oksanen and I am the coordinator of the University Graduate School. There are some things that have changed from the beginning of this year and some that will change during the autumn. So this is a session to spread information. I invited primarily supervisors of doctoral dissertations, but also doctoral students and everybody interested in the topic. So I will be comment and ask questions from other points of view as well. The topics that I'm going to tell you about are admission process of doctoral training. There has been some changes from the beginning of this year. Then attendance registration of doctoral students. There's a slight changes there. A supervision document of doctoral students will be changed a bit in August this year. And the Open Science Center is renewing the publication process of doctoral dissertation, so a few words about that. And at the end, I will show you the guide of supervisors that it is at the graduate school website. It has been there already for some time, but I suppose all supervisors aren't aware of that. So, and of course, this is a place to discuss, ask questions, give feedback, and we can add other topics if you feel necessary. The admission process of doctoral training will be developed by harmonizing the application and selection process of doctoral students. This is something that we have discussed a very long time in this university. And the aim of developing this process has been set in the general admission criteria, that is rector's decision, for the first time for the 2017. In 2017, we started renewing the process, and now there are some new things in the admission process from this beginning of this year. I will go through shortly the admission criteria. This first slide, there's nothing new here. This is all what has been already before, but just to start from the beginning. Yes. Yes, yes, I will put the slides at the graduate school website and I will send you an email with a link where you can find them. Yes, yes. So at the Universities Act, we have the eligibility criteria for doctoral training. The eligible applicants for studies leading to doctoral degree must have completed a relevant master's degree awarded by university or relevant master's degree awarded by the University of Applied Sciences or relevant study program abroad, which in that country gives eligibility for corresponding level of higher education. And the university can require supplementary studies from the applicant if the knowledge and skills of the applicant are not at the required level. And that usually happens if the applicant has a degree from the University of Applied Sciences. So for supervisors, if you discuss with a potential applicant who has some degree other than a typical master's degree from a university, then it's a good idea to contact the faculty staff, for the head of academic affairs, for example, and check how the faculty has handled this kind of applicants. The University of Jyväskylä also requires that the student selected for doctoral studies has sufficient basic knowledge of the discipline, of the dissertation, and we also look at the grade of the master's thesis or the thesis of the degree that gives the eligibility. This is also old stuff. At the University of Jyväskylä, we have general admission criteria that are common to all faculties, but the faculties can refine these criteria, make the detailed admission requirements of their own, but they are always based on these general admission criteria that are success in studies that provide eligibility for doctoral studies, appropriate language skills required for the studies, the suitability of the research subject for the research strategy of the department or faculty, the level and feasibility of the research and study plan, the availability of expert supervision and the sufficiency of related resources, and doctoral students' commitment to completing the degree. And in the current admission requirements, we have given a little bit more information what is meant with these criteria, what kind of things the faculty should consider when selecting the students. I think one of the biggest changes that has taken place from the beginning of this year is that we now have language requirements which are much more strict and detailed than before. Before it was only the appropriate language skills required for the studies, and then the faculty could make it more detailed. And some faculties have in fact required language proficiency certificates already before, but now this is something that concerns all faculties and all applicants. So students selected for doctoral degree programs must have proficiency in Finnish or English at the admission stage, because Finnish and English are the languages that you can use to study here at the University of Jyväskylä. The doctoral dissertation itself can be in some other language in some cases. If the applicant has master's degree from a Finnish university, then there's no need to prove the language skills if the degree itself is a demonstration of the language skills. Also, if the applicant has master's degree from one of these countries, EU countries, Switzerland, United States, Canada, Australia, or New Zealand, and if the degree is completed in English and the thesis is in English, then the degree demonstrates the language skills.
Because like in some programs, master programs, some of the subjects are taken in English and others, some more general subjects are taken in English. So it's language of the country. So how do you decide?
The language of the program, it has to be visible from the degree certificate or from some other document that is given by the university. So it has to be that the university has the university has confirmed the language of the program that it is English. Yes. And then other applicants who are planning to write their dissertation in English must demonstrate their language, English language proficiency with a language proficiency certificate. And in the admission criteria and in the application guidelines given to the applicants, there's a list of language tests that are accepted, and the levels required from the test result. So, and also, yeah, detailed instructions on how the test result will be sent to the university and so on. In theory, there could also be an applicant who wants to write thesis in Finnish and haven't been studying in Finland or doesn't have Finnish as a mother tongue, and in that case he or she should demonstrate the Finnish language skills with a language proficiency certificate as well. Well, these are instructions that we give to the applicants, but as supervisors, when you discuss with potential applicants, it would be very good to make sure that the applicant is aware of these requirements, that they know that we have language requirements and that they must be taken very seriously. And especially if the applicant is required to take a language proficiency test, he or she should book the test time well in advance, because it can take quite a long time before one can take the test. It can be even a couple of months or something like that. Yeah, I don't remember, but we can check it after this slide. Just to complete the sentence, after the applicant has taken the test, we get the test result quite quickly. But the problem is if you are applying in August and in mid-August you realize that, oh, I need a language test, and then it may be too late to take it. It just have to be aware of this well in advance. I will show you the... No. I will show you the... guidelines for the applicant. Apply doctoral studies. So, for example, here are the tests. It could be more. It could be a list. It would be more clear. But there are TOEFL, IELTS, academic. These are. And then there are, for TOEFL, it's 627 for paper-based tests, but I don't think there are paper... 95 for internet tests. There are also some special conditions in the admission criteria that it's good that supervisors are aware of those. These are mainly related to a situation where the applicant already has started doctoral studies somewhere else and started the dissertation research and then wants to come to the University of Jyväskylä. There's a precondition that the dissertation will be supervised at the University of Jyväskylä in accordance to our degree regulations. So that means that the university wants that there is some kind of contribution from a supervisor from the University of Jyväskylä, and we have opportunity to guide the student in his or her research. And the second one comes from the recommendation of the National Board of Research Integrity. So it's something that probably is used in all universities, that if the dissertation manuscript hasn't been granted permission for public examination in another university or another faculty of the University of Jyväskylä, it will not be considered unless there are justified grounds to do so. So in situations when somebody comes to you and I have my dissertation is ready and I just want to defend it somewhere, then it it's a good idea to stop thinking a little bit why is it so, and discuss with somebody else that is this acceptable, and is it good idea to encourage the person to apply. Also, sometimes doctoral students want to move from university to university or between faculties for different reasons. It may be that the supervisor has moved to another university and the students wants to follow, and that is okay. But it has to be agreed how the research material is moved between the universities, so that it is clear how it's done. And also, an applicant that already has a doctoral degree can't be granted a study right to pursue another doctoral degree with similar content. That has happened also. Then more practical things. We now had two application periods, one in March and one in August. And these are common to all faculties. Before we had application periods, but they were different between the faculties. And the March application period is for programs that start on 1st of August, and the August application period is for programs that start on 1st of January. And starting from next August, the application form will be in Study Info Portal, that is Opintopolku in Finnish. The attachments required from the applicant are most important, the research plan and doctoral study plan. Those are required from everybody, and they must be sent together with the application, so they must be ready by the application deadline. Yes? Yes. Degree certificate and transcript of records is required almost from everybody, from those who have graduated from the University of Jyväskylä. We don't need them because we can find the information from our own databases. Translations are required if the documents are in language other than Finnish, English or Swedish. And in certain cases, the language proficiency certificate is required. All educational documents, and that means the degree certificate and the transcript of records, must be either officially certified or by the awarding institution or legally sized. And also the translations of the educational documents must be official translations. And they are in the application guidelines. There are detailed instructions on how this should be done. And also for some countries, there are country-specific document requirements. And and if there are country-specific document requirements, then those are followed primarily before these general guidelines. And country-specific document requirements, they concern either how to certify or how to legalize the documents or how to send them to the University of Jyväskylä. And there now is two places where the application guidelines are. I already showed you these general application guidelines. They are under the opiskelu website at the university website. So those are for everybody, for all applicants. And in addition to that, there are faculty-specific guidelines, because there are certain things that the faculty specify, and especially the research plan and the doctoral study plan instructions for those are given by the faculty. So it's important that the applicant reads the both guidelines. And from the general guidelines, there are links to faculty-specific guidelines. About the admission decisions, the applications are assessed in doctoral school or doctoral program specific groups. So there's a group of people who makes the academic assessment of the applicants and applications, and also the applicant's eligibility to apply and the correctness of the application documents is verified. The eligibility and the documents are checked by the more administrative personnel, and language proficiency test results are verified at the admission services. That's because there are different online tools and different ways how the results will be sent to us, and there are user accounts needed and so on. So it's just more simple if it's done by a couple of people. There are some exceptions to this process. Faculty may, at its discretion, make a conditional admission decision at the most 6 months before the completion of the applicant's master's degree. This means that the faculty decides if it wants to accept, make these conditional decisions. All faculties don't do this at all, but in some cases it may be a good thing to have this opportunity. Also, faculties have the right to admit doctoral students outside the application period if it's necessary for filling open doctoral student positions that are financed with external funding. So as supervisors, if you have get project funding, for example, from the Academy of Finland or EU, and you have funding for hiring doctoral student, then it's possible to take the student outside the application period. But also then there will be same application form, same attachments required, and same admission requirements, and the process will be otherwise the same. It's just that it doesn't have to be during the application period.
So Lula, is this the only condition that allows for positions to be built outside the rates?
Yes.
The one that is external funding?
Yeah, external funding, it's the only exception for the rule, yeah. Mm. Yeah, we are currently together with the student services and admission services and personnel services, whatever. We are trying to describe the process on how this is done, because it's a bit complicated, because there's the recruitment process for the doctoral student position, and there's the application process for the doctoral study, right? So we are trying to describe the process so that it can be followed in a similar way. Yeah.
Okay, so our issue was just that there's new faculty coming in and they want their doctoral students to be enrolled, and they just missed the deadline, and
yeah,
we have to wait half a year, so we decided to take on
external period. Yeah. Yeah, the application periods, it does create some problems. It's we are well aware of that. But that is something that all Finnish universities have done, almost all, and those who haven't, they will do it soon. So all Finnish universities will have these application periods for application to doctoral training. In general, this whole admission process is something that is being developed in many, many universities. It's something very common to all Finnish universities that the admission process for doctoral training, it hasn't been very formal and not very well structured, and so it's something that everybody is developing. Accepting the study place, there are in the Universities Act, there are requirements that the student admitted to the doctoral training must notify the university, or any student admitted to university must notify the university within the time indicated in the offered admission whether they accept the offered study place. And students who have accepted the study place must enroll at the university in the manner specified by the university. And this is something that it concerns doctoral students as well, and it's something that we haven't been very strict about it. It has happened that somebody has forgotten to do it, and then we have just somehow find a way to fix it later. But these days we have to be more strict about these things. So as supervisors, I encourage you to make sure that the students understand that these are things that have to be done, and they have to be done by the deadline and the way the university has instructed. Otherwise, there will be just unnecessary trouble later. So it's easiest if you just do it the way instructed. Yeah, for example, if the student doesn't accept the offered study place in formal way, well, it means that he or she should lose the study place and should then have to apply again for the study right. This is what happens to the master's level students. Also, if a student doesn't accept the offered study place, doesn't enroll at the university, then he's not in our student records. He doesn't, like, exist in our records. And, for example, he can't get study credits. And if you don't do that at all, you can't get the doctoral degree. Of course, you can do research and write your dissertation and do all that, but in the end, you are not officially a student here if you don't do this. Those new students who have been admitted this spring, they will accept the study place and do the enrollment with the form that they get from the faculty, and they are asked to return the form to the faculty. This is the old way we have been doing this. But starting from autumn this year, the students will accept the study place in Study Info Portal, and they will enroll in OILI service. So it's a new way of doing it. Also in Finland we have this provision of one study place per term rule, that during one academic term a student may accept only one study place leading to a higher education degree in Finland. And it's good to know if you have an applicant who is eager to apply here and there, leave many applications and study this and that, then he or she can't accept more than one study place per term. And it is the Study Info Portal that checks it. So when a student goes to accept the study place in the Study Info Portal, and if he or she has done it before during the same term, then the portal will inform it, sorry, you can't accept the study place because you have already taken one study place. Do you have any questions about this admission process before we move on? One study place rule is something that it's not very reasonable in doctoral training, because it's not very it's not a serious problem that the applicants would be doing that. I think so. It's a rule that is created for master students and bachelor students and so on, but it concerns doctoral students as well. And it is the Finnish law, so we have to obey. Attendance registration of doctoral students, it's a student's responsibility. As supervisors, you don't really have to care about that. We give the students instructions on how to do it. But since there is a change, I will tell you about it so you can guide your student if there is confusion. So the attendance registration has been taking place in Korppi for a long time, but no more. Korppi has expired as a tool for that. And now doctoral students who are continuing their studies, those students who have been accepted before, they register in this OILI service that is a national service for this purpose. And the registration period is from May to July, so it's happening at this very moment. By the end of July, all doctoral students should register for attendance or non-attendance for the next academic year. In case there's a problem with registering in the OILI service, if your student complains that I can't do it, then my advice is to contact the student and academic services directly in this email address, because they are able to find out what is the problem and how to solve it. So it's the quickest way to get help for problems in carrying out the registration in Oily Service. We also have a rule in the Universities Act that for the first year of studies, a student may register for non-attendance for the following reasons only, and those are that student is carrying out military or non-military service, or is on maternity, paternity, or parental leave, or has some personal illness or injury or disability that prevents from starting the studies. So we expect the doctoral student to start the studies from the beginning of the next term. Supervision document is more relevant topic for supervisors. We have currently a supervision document, which is kind of an agreement between the student and the supervisor in Korppi system, but that will be replaced with a new supervision document service in August. Currently, the supervision document is linked to this attendance registration, so that when the student has logged into Korppi to make the attendance registration, he or she must first complete a supervision document or update it, and then he moves on to make the attendance registration, and then when they send that, there goes a message to the supervisor that the student has registered for the next academic year, and the supervisor can go and check the supervision document and confirm it in Korppi. But now that the attendance registration is no longer in Korppi, and there will be a new supervision document service, this will change. And in August this year, all doctoral students who have registered for attendance during the summer for the next academic year will receive email with instructions on how to save the supervision document in this new supervision document service. But the practice otherwise, it remains the same. So it works so that the idea is that new doctoral student and supervisor, they first have a supervision discussion about the supervision of the thesis. Then the student goes to the service, logs in with the university user account, fills in the document, and sends it to the supervisor in charge for review. And then the supervisor can comment and suggest changes and so. And when both feel that now the document is complete, then they both confirm it in this service. And the document is updated every year after this attendance registration, or it can be confirmed whenever if something changes, then the student can go there and update the document. Also, supervisors can go to the service and view the documents where they are mentioned as a supervisor. And the third role in this system is the officer named by the faculty doctoral school, who can view the documents and who also can fill in beforehand certain information. For example, for the new student, he or she could go and fill in beforehand the supervisors and the follow-up group.
So, you mentioned when is this
coming? In August, sometime in August.
So there will be training for this program.
Training.
I already have.
Yes. Yeah, I promise this will be much easier.
Okay.
That's the main reason why we wanted to have a new service. Now that the attendance registration is no longer in Korppi, there's no reason why we should have this document in Korppi, since it's not working very well there. So we have a new service that is just for this purpose, and it will be quite simple to use. Yes. When the attendance registration ends in the end of July, so after that we will know who will be present during the next academic year, and for those students we will send instructions on how to do this. Yes. Also, the supervision documents contain some information that may be useful for compilation of statistics or for the development purposes. Not all the content, but there are some information that can be useful for the faculty, for example. For example, this is the content of the supervision document, in short. So the purpose is to bring clarity to the responsibilities related to the supervision of doctoral students and to promote the completion of doctoral studies. That's the main purpose why we have that. And it's a document that describes the plan created collaboratively by the student and the supervisor on the supervision and completion schedule of doctoral dissertation. So, of course, the student and the supervisors, they discuss things, but this is just a place where you can write down some things so that you can come back, and it's a way to document the discussions. The main content of the supervision document is, in fact, the appendices. There's two of them. One is responsibilities of the doctoral student, supervisor, and follow-up group. So there's a list of things that that we think the supervisor is responsible and the student is responsible, and also the follow-up group is responsible. And the second one is dissertation requirements at the University of Jyväskylä. So the idea is that during the supervision discussion, the doctoral student and supervisor go through these two guidelines and also discuss the other things in the document, and then fill in the document and confirm that they have agreed on certain things. So the content, it's not very heavy document. There's, of course, who is the student and what's the doctoral study, right, in question. If the student is studying part-time or full-time, that is one information for the statistics, because we don't want to know. Because they are two very different groups of students. So, for example, when we are checking the or looking at the completion times of doctoral degrees, then we want to look these two. Between the supervisors, and if there's something agreed on the supervision meetings. What's the follow-up group for that student, title and estimated completion time of the dissertation. And then this is also mainly for the statistical purposes. If there is a supervision from two or more faculties of the University of Jyväskylä, if there's a co-tutel agreement on international joint supervision made for the student, and or if he or she is part of international joint degree program. There's some new content that wasn't there before. Now we have added three questions, one about ethical review, one about research data management, and one about principles of authorship. And there are questions for the ethical review. We ask, is the ethical review done? Is it going to be done? Is it done as part of some larger project? Or is this a dissertation project such that there's no need for ethical review? It is possible that there is no need. And in a similar way, we ask about research data management plan. And then there's just an open field for principles of authorship, what has been discussed, if there is a joint authorship with the, if there are articles with many authors, then what is agreed on principles of authorship. Do you have any questions about the supervision document?
So
yeah.
It will be online?
Yeah.
And everybody can access it?
Yes, with the university. Yeah, it's you log in with the university username and password. It's the same in the OILI service as well, that you can use this HAKA-kirjautuminen. The supervision document service, it's Plone based service. And the idea is that it is open all the time, so you can go whenever you can go and sign in. But we will remind the students about it after this annual registration period has ended. And after that, we will keep reminding those who haven't done it. So if the supervision document is not confirmed by both the student and the supervisor, then we keep reminding that you have something you should be completing there. Ethical review and this research data management and principles of authorship, they have been added here because they're all things that there is some they involve responsibilities of a supervisor. So if there is a need of ethical review in the dissertation, it's supervisor's job to make sure that it is done. And also supervisor is the first person that the student should talk to about the research data management and principles of authorship also. So these are that the supervisor should make sure that these things have been discussed with the student. So they are mostly to remind that these are things that need to be discussed. So there's a, you can check, okay, ethical review has been done and so, but it's not so much a tool to follow if the thing has been done or no. It's mostly to remind. So the Open Science Center is renewing the publication process of doctoral dissertations. The plan is that there will be new dissertations electronic publication series for doctoral dissertations. So there will be one publication series for all doctoral dissertations from the University of Jyväskylä. There will be cover in accordance with the university brand, and there will also be some kind of faculty-specific identifier, so that even though there is only one publication series, it will be visible from the cover of the dissertation to which faculty it belongs to. Also, it will be possible to search dissertations from different faculties or units. This is something that the graduate school steering board considered very important when they discussed this last year, that even though there's only one series, it still has to be possible to take the dissertations from one unit and look at them as a group. Yes. There will still be editors. That was one question that was discussed also last year, that the Open Science Center suggested that there would be no more editors, but the Graduate School Steering Board considered it very important that there still are editors. Yes. So this new publication series will be the primary format for dissertations. There will be no printed versions anymore. If the doctoral candidate wants, he or she can order printed books as before, but they will be subject to charge, so they will be priced for every single copy of printed book. Also, the library will give up selling the dissertations because there won't be any printed books anymore, so there's nothing to sell anymore. And instead, the library will offer three paper copies, nice paper copies of the dissertation for the public defense, for the candidate, for the opponent, and for the custos. And otherwise, we should manage with the digital version of the dissertation. Otherwise, the process and the schedule remains the same, so there's no big changes from the point of view of the doctoral candidate other than the end result, how the dissertation is published. And the library has promised to inform doctoral students and also to organize training about this. And the plan is that at the moment, all the dissertations that will take and defenses that will take place during this summer will go as before, and this new publication series will come sometime in the fall. But they have promised to inform us about it. There's nothing that should must be done at the moment. Now we just wait for the instructions. But if you want to do something, it's always a good idea to make a publishing plan for the dissertation, a preliminary plan where the articles will be published and so on. And when you have the list of possible publications, then of course you can check the publication policies of those series. But the library people told us that it's generally the publishers have a very open attitude to doctoral dissertations, and it usually is not a problem to publish an article as part of a doctoral dissertation, even if it's an electronic open access publication. Also, it's a good idea to save final drafts of all articles and to take the publications to Tutka as is required. And when the final draft is already in Tutka, then it's really easy to link it to the dissertation. Then, should we move to the guide of supervisors? Have you ever visited the guide of supervisors? This is, it's actually, it's just the links that I have gathered because, well, our website, it is large, and there are sometimes it is really difficult to find information there. So I have just collected links to different documents and things that I think should be easily available for the supervisors. So there's first some basics of dissertation supervision, and here are, for example, the appendices of the supervision document, the responsibilities of student supervisor and follow-up group, and the dissertation requirements. And dissertation supervisor's checklist, it's a kind of short list of the responsibilities of the supervisor, so it's I can show it. At different stages, at the beginning, what the supervisor should to do and take care of, and during the supervisory relationship, and then when the dissertation is close to completion. Also, there's about doctoral student follow-up groups and monitoring of the progress of doctoral students. There's no changes in there. The guidelines are the similar, but they have now been combined in one document because previously we had several different documents giving instructions on how to organize the follow-up group. So now there's only one, but the content hasn't changed. Also, there's learning outcomes in doctoral training. This is something that the Graduate School Steering Board has approved, that we can present the learning outcomes, expected learning outcomes, this way. There are four types of skills that we want to give our doctoral students. One is the discipline-specific skills, so that's mostly things related to the research. Research, then there's research skills like research methodology and publishing and research ethics. And then there are communication skills, all different skills related to that, and then teaching and guidance skills, which are more like skills used to benefit others, like undergraduate students. This works. There are links. If you click for here, then you can get also to what we have to offer to develop these skills. For example, research methodology. You can follow the and then there's a list of units that offer training, methodology center for human science is most important one for the methodology, but also IT services have some courses that may be helpful, and from here you can go and actually see the courses that are upcoming. Then there are some development of guidance skills that I have put here. Now there are these graduate school sessions and also teaching academic content through English, which is a bit larger course for teachers. This is important, the research ethical guidelines. There's responsible conduct of research and supervision of doctoral dissertations and the review process in Finland. Those are guidelines by the National Board of Research Integrity. Then there are some documents that are internal to University of Jyväskylä, our ethical principles of publishing and principles of data management and code of conduct for preventing and dealing with academic fraud and plagiarism. Some administrative guidelines that concern doctoral education, there's graduate school operating principles, degree regulations of the university, then there's a practice of deactivation of doctoral study rights. That is something that the supervisor can initiate if he or she feels that the student is not really making any progress. And also agreement on conducting research using the university premises and equipment. These are at the help center of the university website. And in the help center, there's some more guidelines that are only available in Finnish. So there's a little bit more material in the Finnish side. Also, I've put here some learning materials. There are open science resource and research ethic learning materials that I have a result of national effort to create a material that is can be shared by all Finnish universities. Research ethics material here at the University of Jyväskylä is used by the Methodology Center of Human Sciences. So they have research ethics course that uses this material. But it can also be accessed without attending the course. There's like our own course is here, but there's also open learning research ethics. So here, for example, the supervisor can go in and sign and see the course material. So it may be a good idea when your student is going to research ethics course, then go check the material, and then you have lots to discuss about the student's dissertation after that. And the same with the open science. Open science material will be used by our university library, so they will organize a one study credit course on this material. But this material as well can be accessed by supervisors as well with Haka kirjautuminen. Yeah, and these are just slides from the event that we had last year. We had a visitor from the University of Eastern Finland, so her slides. Then I added here a doctoral debate. This is something that may interest supervisors as well. So this is a site of European University Association, and this is very new. At the moment, there is, for example, something written by Jussi Kivistö from the University of Tampere, reforming Finnish doctoral education in light of European development. So this is mainly about developing doctoral education in the scale of whole Europe. So if you are interested in reading a little bit what are the directions the doctoral education is taking in the future, it may be interesting to check that. Okay, and I already showed you the application guidelines. So this is about what I was prepared to telling you today. Well, there's one more thing. Now I lost it. I lost it. That's just the website address and graduate school email. But also next week we have this information session about peer support in doctoral training at the University of Jyväskylä. This is something, peer support is something that doctoral students quite often come to ask and talk that we would really like to have some sort of peer support group, and could somebody organize the kind of group for us. And this is our graduate school's answer to that demand, that we will gather people together to discuss and to hear about different ways that peer support and peer mentoring is implemented at the university already now. There are different examples about peer support groups that doctoral students have created themselves, just started getting together. And then there are different models where there are more senior researchers who facilitate the peer support or peer mentoring. But they are all quite light in on how they are organized. It's not very laborious to organize something like that, and it doesn't cost a lot, but they can be great benefits for these kind of activities. So Wednesday next week we will gather in Lea Burkisen Sali to hear examples, and the purpose is to promote the already existing ways of implementing peer support and also encourage of starting new ones. Anything else?
So
yes?
What's the procedure nowadays for facilitating some of the non-active students?
Mm. Yeah, there's no way of expiring it. I can show you. Okay, this is connected to the supervision document, so these instructions have to be updated when we get the new supervision document service. But in principle, when the student makes the supervision document and asks the supervisor to confirm the supervision document, if the supervisor feels that this student really is not active, is not doing anything for the progress of the studies or the dissertation, because in our degree regulations we say that all doctoral students who are active are entitled to supervision. And sometimes it happens that the student really is not active at all, but is constantly contacting the supervisor and requesting supervision. So if the supervisor feels that a student really is not active and can prove it, can show that there's no study credits and there's no progress in the dissertation work, then the supervisor can start this process. And the supervisor proposes deactivation of study right to the dean. So the student will not lose the study right, but it will be deactivated. The study right can be active or deactive in the study register. Okay. And then the dean must hear the student and hear the follow-up group of the student. Or how was it? Yeah, and the follow-up group. Yeah, they hear the views of the student and the follow-up group. And the dean will decide if the study right can be deactivated. And if the study right is deactivated this way, then the doctoral student cannot register for attendance, but the study right can be reactivated after the student and the supervisor have updated the research plan, updated the doctoral study plan, and agreed on how to continue the work. So it's kind of a new start for the student. Yes. No.
What studies that can improve the English writing for the dissertation?
Like a language check.
There are some organization that's some commercial organization for the improve the English writing. If I have finished some journal papers,
okay. There is a service at the university, but it is subject to a charge, so it's not free. Let me see where I can find it easily. Thank you. Yeah, it's at the language center. They have this language services. So this is the service that the university offers. Yeah. Okay. I will stop the recording now.